You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Jets podcast for Friday, March 5th, 2021. I'm your host, John B. from gangrenenation.com. I want to take a moment to give a special shout out to those of you who are subscribed to this podcast. Thanks for taking some time out of your day to listen. And if you are not a subscriber yet, you can join that group by going to your favorite podcast source. And once you subscribe there, you will receive new episodes automatically each morning as they are posted. Also, if you enjoy this show, please give it a good review. We'd love to hear what you have to say. I was thinking about this, and this week we had a lot of great questions for our weekly mailbag show on Wednesday. Every Wednesday on the podcast, we try to do a mailbag. Some weeks we can't because of scheduling issues, but we try to do a weekly mailbag. But there were so many good questions this week that I felt like I wanted to do a bonus mailbag. So thanks to everybody again who sent in such great questions this week. And let's get started. Our first question: do you think this new trend of mobility of established quarterbacks makes it more likely the Jets will go with Darnold this year, knowing that if they want to move on from Sam after next year, they may not just be relegated to the draft if they look for a replacement? And when we're talking about the mobility of established quarterbacks, we're talking about Tom Brady moving from New England to Tampa Bay, Matthew Stafford moving from Detroit to the Rams, Jared Goff moving from the Rams to Detroit, and perhaps Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson being traded. I'm not entirely sure that it makes a huge difference this year. I think it really comes down to whether or not the Jets believe in either Zach Wilson or Justin Fields with the second overall pick, or of course if they're able to pull off a trade for Deshaun Watson, or less likely, Russell Wilson. I don't think that they're necessarily going to wait for the perfect scenario if they think that there's a guy available to them, but I do think we perhaps could be entering a new era in the NFL where quarterbacks change teams more frequently. We've seen the rise of players having control over a lot of their team's moves in the NBA, and we've seen a lot of player movement. It's become an era of player control. The players have kind of come to realize in the NBA what sort of leverage they have. They're in the middle of big moves that their teams make, and they have the ability to change teams, bring free agents with them. We really have not seen that in the NFL to date, but it seems like that could be on the rise. So it's something to watch in the NFL going forward. Now, I'm not sure it's necessarily going to factor into the Jets' decision-making, although I think one thing it should remind you of is there are always going to be opportunities to get a quarterback. I think that the worst thing a team can ever do is put itself in a situation, get into the mindset that you have to do some things at this position, because the second you do that, you're going to make a bad move, because that position doesn't always have a player available to you who's worth the resources you're going to invest in that player. And you see this happen frequently in the draft, where teams overdraft a player out of need of the position, or they make a free agent signing out of desperation. I mean, I can think back a couple of years when the Jets signed Trumaine Johnson and they had issues at the cornerback position. And Trumaine Johnson, I said it at the time, he was worth nowhere the amount of money the Jets gave him. Now, I can't take too much credit. I did not think Trumaine Johnson would be that bad. But it's a perfect example of this concept, and that's at corner. At quarterback, if you draft a guy second overall, odds are you're committing to him for the next few years. You're probably going to have, yeah, that's just the way the league works right now. And although even if you need a quarterback, you need to make sure not just that you get a guy, but that you get the right guy. And I think that's ultimately what the decision comes down to. Now, I think the rise, or the potential rise, you know, I don't think we're quite there yet where we can say that this is a trend, but I think this very well could become a trend. But this rise of potentially of players moving teams, it's just another thing to keep in the back of your mind, because if you don't address a position this year, there are always going to be available players in the future who maybe you could go get. So, you know, I don't think it plays that big of a role, but I think it's something to kind of keep in the back of your mind. I don't think it's enough, however, to pass on Wilson or Fields or a Trey Lance if you like them. I don't think that you can just say we're not taking these guys because we're going to try and get Russell Wilson in a year or Deshaun Watson in a year. I think it comes down to, really, it's as simple as that. It comes down to whether you evaluate these guys are franchise quarterbacks. Our next question is from Jonathan. Jonathan writes to me, "Hi, John. I remember watching Joe Namath in the early 70s. I'd like to submit a question to the mailbag. How do you feel about a trade where the centerpieces are the Jets' second overall pick in the upcoming draft and Chase Young of the Washington football team? The Jets are desperately in need of a Khalil Mack-type difference maker on defense. Washington picks 19th this year and needs their quarterback of the future. Washington knows they have a great player in Young, but it is a quarterback-driven league. If Washington believes one of the quarterbacks in the draft is a future star, it's a price they have to pay." You know, it's a good question, Jonathan, and it's an interesting idea, but here's what I come back to is you absolutely need a quarterback in this league. That's probably number one of the things you need if you're going to build a great team. The thing, though, is that number two would probably be a pass rusher. So, and when you think about the type of talent Chase Young is, his potential in the NFL, maybe he's not going to be a quarterback type difference maker, but he could probably be the next best thing if he makes good on all the talent that he has. So, you know, would you rather have a quarterback than a pass rusher? Yes, but I think you need both in the NFL to win. You know, the quarterback is important. You cannot win without the quarterback over the long haul. I mean, you can put together a decent year or two if you build a really great roster, but in today's NFL, it's very difficult to keep a complete roster around. You really do need a quarterback if you're going to win consistently over the long haul, but you also need pass rushers. So it's a situation where if you're Washington and you trade Chase Young for a quarterback, it's kind of a case of robbing Peter to pay Paul. It's that you're getting something essential, but you're also kind of giving up something essential. Now, listen, I love it from the Jets' standpoint. If you can get me Chase Young, and you know, part of this does come into the question of do I like these quarterbacks, but if you can get me Chase Young in a trade, I'd probably do it if I were the Jets. I can't see Washington making a deal like that. I mean, it's not a terrible idea. You know, I don't think it's a ridiculous question, but I just don't see Washington doing something like that. Bet Online is the fastest, easiest way to bet on all the sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. And Bet Online also covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV with real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. Bet Online has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit using promo code LOCKEDON. It's one word, LOCKEDON with no space. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. This is the Locked On Jets podcast on this bonus Friday mailbag show. Our next question comes from Tim. Tim writes, "Hi, John. Joe Douglas comes from the Baltimore school of accumulating draft picks, and one of the key strategies seemed to be to let free agents go and collect compensatory picks. Would the Jets be well served to sign valuable veterans to one-year contracts at maybe above average market rates and then let them go collect the compensatory pick?" You know, I like the thinking. I like the thought process because I always think if you can acquire more draft picks, the better. And, you know, if there's a way you can maneuver it, it's not a bad way to go. As Tim mentions, Baltimore always figures out ways to work the system to get compensatory picks. And compensatory picks, if you're not familiar with them, each year the NFL gives out 32 bonus draft picks, and they go to teams that lose more in free agency than they gain. It is an interesting concept from this standpoint. Most of the way the NFL is built is to try and help bad teams improve and to make good teams worse. And this is one of the rare exceptions to that. Compensatory picks really help the good teams because the good teams are the ones that lose free agents. And it's interesting the players allowed this to be part of the rules because it's a disincentive for teams to spend in free agency. And as you mentioned, Baltimore is one of those teams that constantly accumulates picks, and there are other teams. Green Bay's done it through the years. New England's done it through the years. And they've figured out ways to utilize the system. One of the things Baltimore tends to do is that when they sign free agents, frequently the guys they signed were players who were cut from other teams from cap reasons, because players who are cut for cap reasons do not factor into the formula that's used to determine compensatory picks. Because in this formula, you are hurt when you sign free agents, but the guys who are cut don't count. I just am not sure this is a luxury the Jets have at this point in time, because again, this is a system that's really set up for the teams that are good, for the teams that lose more than they gain. And I think, you know, if you're deciding between two free agents and it's super close, and one of these guys can help you with the compensatory pick system and the other wouldn't, then maybe it could be like a tiebreaker. But it's just the Jets, you know, the Jets are coming off a year where they're 2-14. They don't really have much on their roster outside the defensive line. I think the focus really needs to be on just finding the best fits possible, the best players. I think the Jets are going to want to sign guys who are going to be here 2 to 3 years to help build this thing up. Now, you can find guys, you know, there probably will be a couple guys who will make sense on a one-year deal, but I think that when you're a good team, when you're at the top of the league, this is something the smart teams take advantage of. I think when you're at the bottom of the league, like when you're like the Jets, you got to bring in free agents, and I just don't think that this can be at the centerpiece of your strategy. As much as I think you need to work on acquiring extra draft picks, I'm not sure it's the route for the Jets at this point in time. Now, if Joe Douglas does his job, you know, 2 to 3 years from now, it could be a very different story. If the Jets build a really good team going forward and they have a little bit more to work with, then I think we could start talking about strategies with compensatory picks. But I think it's a little early for that. It's a very good question, though. Our next question. I saw the 2020 Free Agent Revisited show, and it got me wondering about free agent signings league-wide. Which signings actually made a positive season-changing difference? Jack Conklin comes to mind as a signing that lived up to the hope and hype. Yeah, I mean, you could look, unfortunately, for the Jets, maybe Robbie Anderson going to Carolina and having a 1,000-yard season. But I think that's the point, is you have to pick your spots in free agency. I think one of the big issues you see every year is the teams that spend on the first day of free agency frequently live to regret it. And that's not an accident. The guys who are signed on day one in free agency, they're players who the reason that they're signing day one is they've gotten an offer that's so good that they just can't possibly turn it down. You know, a lot of the other guys, the guys who don't get the big offers tend to last a few more days, if not weeks, because they need to figure out, they need to negotiate a little bit. So if you're signing the first day, you've just gotten a ridiculous offer. But the thing is, those are also guys whose original team felt like they were not good enough to pay a ton of money to. And frequently, your original team knows you better than anybody else, and they're frequently right. So we've seen it through the years. If you don't know what you're doing in free agency, you can really hurt your team. And ultimately, the guys who are the real difference makers in this league, they tend to not hit free agency. They tend to either get extensions before they become free agents, or they get traded so that their original team can get something in return for them. So, and that's not to say free agency is a bad idea in general. The Jets are going to need to make some smart free agent signings here, but you need to target guys successfully. You know, the free agent signings that get the most hype each year have a much higher miss rate than you'd think. And the teams that frequently get praised as the winners of free agency at the time live to regret it by the time December comes around. Sometimes being on a new team changes everything because you're not in the system where you had success. You're not with the coaches who helped you find success. There was an article Albert Hainsworth wrote years ago in the Players Tribune, which is a website founded by Derek Jeter, which allows players to write their own essays. And Haynesworth is remembered for being one of the maybe the biggest bust in free agent history when he left Tennessee and signed with Washington back in 2009. And in that essay, he does a great job explaining the differences between the way he was used in Washington by the coaches there and the way he was used in Tennessee and the difference his position coach in Tennessee made. And that happens a lot more than you'd think. You know, it's difficult when you're moved, when you go into a new locker room with new teammates and a new system, sometimes a new role, new coaches, it can change a lot about your production. There's a lot about your production that is dependent in this league on the situation you are in. And I think that's something teams miss out on sometimes. I think sometimes teams kind of forget that when they spend big money in free agency. So, you know, there aren't many guys last year who made a huge impact, I would say. In free agency, generally speaking, you find role players. It's very rare that you find... It does happen from time to time, but it's much more frequent that the best free agent signings are more for role players on more reasonable contracts, and you find your stars through the draft. Chain stores have different price tiers for professionals and do-it-yourselfers, but RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they are reliably low. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. This is the Locked On Jets podcast on this special bonus mailbag show on this Friday. Our next question, is there anything to be made about Allen Robinson gushing about Zach Wilson on Collinsworth's and Sherman's podcast? So what this is asking about Allen Robinson, obviously a free agent receiver to be with the Chicago Bears. He was on a podcast with Chris Collinsworth and Richard Sherman and had a lot of praise for Zach Wilson, who is the quarterback in the draft this year out of BYU. You can drive yourself crazy trying to read into all of stuff like this. There are always these rumors in the offseason. There's always players praising players, and people try and figure out what that means. Does that mean that they want to come to a certain team? Does that mean that they'll come to a certain team if the team does this? I think you can just drive yourself crazy trying to read too much into this. I'm just in wait and see mode when we get to the off season. That's one of the things I learned a long time back, was just stop trying to chase every single rumor. Eventually things will play out, but I found that it's not a very productive use of time to try and figure out whether there's any meaning behind a statement like that. I mean, I don't know what it means for Allen Robinson. I don't know if it means that he's more likely to come to the Jets if he thinks that they're going to draft Zach Wilson. It's, your guess is as good as mine on that one. And that goes for pretty much any offseason rumor. I try and ignore most of the rumors unless it seems like there's some real substance behind it. I just try and put those out of mind, because like 95% of these things don't really have much to do with anything. Next question. I heard an interesting take on roster building on another podcast. I would like your thoughts on it and how it might apply to the Jets in the free agency and the draft. The idea is to spend your free agent dollars on top players at non-premium positions and reserve your draft picks for taking shots at the high-dollar positions. For instance, instead of spending $20 million on the top corner, spend it on a guard, a linebacker, and a kicker, then draft corner, edge, tackle, and receiver. First of all, I mean, why are you listening to another podcast? I'm just joking. As always, it depends on the positions, it depends on the players, it depends on the scheme you're running. I mean, so there are some schemes where linebacker is actually a premium position and corner is not. You know, if you run a bunch of cover four coverages, linebacker is actually going to be a lot more important. Linebacker is actually going to be more important than corner. You know, there aren't many teams that run that consistently, though. So there's a lot that comes into play here. It depends on the player. I think it's just about having a plan. I'm not sure that there's necessarily one plan that's better than another. It's about having a plan and executing it well. When I look at free agency, I don't think that there are any like universal truths in the sense that, you know, you spend your free agent dollars at this position, you draft at this position. there are never any universal truths. The way I look at free agency is essentially you have to figure out a way to determine how many dollars of value a player is going to give you. And then you try and give them a contract for less than that. So I think and this is something the team has to figure out how to do. It's obviously very complicated. I'm not sure exactly how you do it, but you essentially need to like do an estimate and say, okay, this player is going to provide us $6 million worth of production. And if we can get him on a contract worth $3 million, that's really good. I think that's kind of the context you need to think of things in. You know, is that necessarily a poor strategy? No. If you can go out and execute it well, is it necessarily a good strategy? No, if you don't go out and execute it well. I mean, I think a lot of this stuff comes... I like the idea of having a plan. I like the idea of prioritizing certain positions. But I don't think that's necessary. I don't think there's necessarily one plan that's better than the other. Except when we get to the extremes. Obviously, there are some plans that make no sense. But I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with that idea. But I don't think it's necessarily superior to another approach. It all depends on what you can find. The important thing is that you have a path to build a successful football team. The important thing is that you figure out a way to fill out your roster with quality players. How you do it, not as important, I think. Anyway, that's all for our show today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoyed this show, subscribe to it and leave it a good review. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll be back next week to talk more Jets.